Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is K-Town. I'm going to take you through some of the most creepy, chilling, and downright terrifying experiences you've ever heard. This is The X Podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Many of you have asked for more content on the dark web, so I'm warning you, listener discretion is advised. You probably entered the deep web every day without even realizing it. For decades, the terms deep and dark have been used interchangeably and incorrectly, so much so that Wired magazine mentions it in its style guide to ensure writers use the correct terms when reporting on hidden service news. What are hidden services? Unlike human-friendly domains such as www.amazon.com, a hidden service is comprised of 16 characters, followed by the .onion domain. This domain will be undetectable by standard search engines, but can be found by anyone with Tor software or other tools installed on their computer. In the most basic sense, the deep web contains content that will not be revealed by a search engine. Just as you can't share a post on Facebook with the world if it's edited to be viewed by friends only, or a random person cannot access your online bank account, or at least not without a specific skill set, or the public can't view a corporation's private data, the information on the deep web not only consists of the majority of the internet, but it is also invisible to most internet surfers. Even the average online shopping experiences delve into the deep web. Once you begin a detailed search for, say, a particular sweater or a pair of shoes, court records, academic papers, library, and government databases all exist below the surface in the deep web. The iceberg analogy when discussing the regions of the internet is popular, and for good reason. The surface web is that chunk of the internet visible to the public, or in the case of our iceberg, above water. Like our iceberg, the surface web is smaller than what awaits us below. The surface web is easily explored via search engines. Every site within it is indexed. According to Google, the average search reveals just 0.03% of what the internet actually contains. The deep web, in comparison, is thousands of times larger. Okay, so what about the notoriety and the outrageous stories, such as chat rooms where assassins ply their trade, vast illegal drug marketplaces, identity theft, and worse? These do and do not occur deeper below the surface of the waves, in something called the dark web. The dark web is the place you'll need specific tools to enter. It exists within the deep web, a pocket that grows exponentially each year, and inhabited by not only the curious and the criminal, but by law enforcement as well. So why in the world would anyone want to explore the deep web or the dark web? There are many benefits to exploring the internet anonymously. For businesses, this can bring the advantage of gathering knowledge about their customers before their competitors become aware of a trend or consumer chatter. In a quiet, anonymous world, that is the dark web, consumers don't hold back their opinions, and the corporate world can gain insight it never could on a highly regulated, even censored, surface web. The spirit of the dark web is that of a pioneer, regardless of the activity. One story tells of how a dark web frequenter purchased a drug of choice from a vendor, only to receive some grams of cane sugar in the mail. When the user told his story in the dark web chat room, he was contacted by another anonymous entity and found his money refunded by a seller with a heart of gold who hated to see a dishonorable crime being committed in his corner of the shadow net. Another user found he downloaded a Trojan virus that had ridden piggyback atop a bootleg version of The Sims PC game he purchased. Again, a caring good Samaritan walked him how to rid his computer of it. To many, the dark web is the last frontier of free speech. The uncensored hidden wiki is an example of this, a weighty collection of political rants too extreme for public view. All frontiers have their dangers due to the lack of regulations and the muscle to enforce the law. The same thing that makes the dark web so appealing is what makes it so potentially dangerous. Knowing our desire for shock value, jump scares, and horror, there are those who would peddle such things for a price. Disturbing videos can be unlocked with cryptocurrency, such as that of a preteen committing suicide. Rumors abound that identity theft will run you around $850, as well as even worse things that can be had for free, such as a collection of disturbing videos known simply as the Gauntlet. Beyond this, there is no guarantee that any browser such as Tor would totally protect your anonymity. Government agencies such as the NSA have been recorded in the process of unburying regular dark web users' identities. Regular usage of Tor can actually alert you to the authorities instead of hiding you from them. In 2014, Comcast service representatives began warning their customers against the use of Tor, claiming that it was an illegal web browser. The company then denied the accuracy of these reports in a later statement. There's a feud happening silently every day that you and I are unaware of. The Navy, who developed the Tor browser, infiltrates the Army, or more specifically, the NSA, who are constantly trying to figure out how to snoop around Tor. Both are headquartered in Maryland, mere miles from each other. The part of the federal U.S. government that's in charge of propaganda is called the BBG, or Broadcasting Board of Governors, and it funds Tor to this day. Coupled with funding coming directly from the State Department, Tor and the Navy can't lose, though it's the NSA's job to keep trying to break it. Paul Syverson, David Goslack, and Michael Reed developed the idea of the onion routing in the 1990s at the U.S. Naval Research Laboratory. Two others perfected the concept, and the Tor project was officially launched on September 20th, 2002. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or the EFF, continued its funding to further develop the project. Tor was developed to protect the identities of military personnel stationed overseas, and in an effort to further mask these troops' identities and locations, Tor was released to the public in October 2003 as a free, open-source browser with the aim of hiding military personnel amid the traffic of anonymous civilian users. The Tor Project itself is a nonprofit organization that keeps Tor's updates current. Additional financial assistance is provided by individual sponsors and even the country of Sweden. Now, it wouldn't be right if I didn't tell you how Tor actually works. Really, it's pretty simple. Tor itself is a network which is populated by thousands of volunteer routers, also known as nodes. A user's data is encrypted at least 3 different points or relays before reaching its destination. This is also what makes it difficult and in most hands impossible to trace the user or client. Their address and identity are masked in triplicate. Tor not only hides identities of individual users, but entire websites also, and helps with the configuration of peer-to-peer applications that allow users to share and download torrent files. There is thought to be 6,483 exit nodes and nearly 7,000 total relays, with nearly 3,000 bridges running. There are 3 different types of nodes that you can run if you'd like to volunteer on Tor: middle relays, exit relays, and bridges. Middle relays pass the data along and maintain its speed while encrypting it, and a Tor user can easily find a middle relay to connect to. It's pretty safe to connect to a middle relay as well, since its location is hidden. Exit relays are the last stop on the encryption road and viewable by everyone on the network. If an unsavory user does something illegal on the network, the exit relay may take the fall for it. Exit relays are definitely not for the hobbyist or someone using their personal computer in their home. Police may seize your computer if someone compromises your relay to engage in illegal activity. Bridge relays on the Tor network are not publicly listed, and they help in avoiding censorship in countries such as China. Like middle relays, bridges are also considered safe to run in your home. According to the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, no one has ever been prosecuted in the U.S. for running a Tor relay, and that running a relay in itself is a legal act. That being said, using Tor for illegal activities is, of course, illegal. Using it for freedom of speech, to avoid censorship, to support human rights, and to maintain anonymity are perfectly legal and in the spirit in which Tor continues to thrive today. By now you might be asking, so where can I go? What's in it for me? And if you were ever thinking about it, should you even bother exploring the Tor network? ProPublica, an independent U.S. nonprofit newsroom based in New York City, is not only the recipient of the Pulitzer Prize for Investigative Journalism, but also has a .onion address. Facebook has a Tor address too, but we likely don't need to mention the weirdness of such a privacy-invasive company existing in the anonymity of the dark web. Sci-Hub, heroes to some, villains to others, gives access to over 50 million pages of scientific research to those who would not normally be able to afford such knowledge. Research papers typically exist behind paywalls, and Sci-Hub gains access to these papers via leaked credentials, then turns around, hosts the captured work for any visitor to explore. Another useful site, DuckDuckGo, is the dark web's alternative to Google for those who prefer to retain their anonymity while searching the web. DuckDuckGo is incredibly fast and reliable, and above all, safe. Tor Mail existed for a while as the dark web's email address, but was taken down after an investigation into illegal activity. Mail to Tor seems to have risen as its feisty replacement, and states with a message on its surface web website that says, "None of the Mail to Tor mail systems are hosted on this server, or any server that you can find the IP address. Seizing or shutting down this website will have no effect on us." The Hub is an independent dark web forum that is home to the passionate harm-reducing community, giving free advice to those who might self-medicate and how to safely do so, if possible. Finally, the world's most popular Bitcoin wallet, called Blockchain, is available with a .onion address. As the last point, there is a matter of the hidden wiki. The Tor network's infamous guide to all other sites on the network. It's a matter of debate as to whether or not the Hidden Wiki is safe to explore. There are certain legal, legitimate sites, the links of which can be found in the wiki. But because it is a wiki and publicly editable page, anyone can go in and tamper with a link to redirect you to an unsavory destination. As a rule, anything asking you to spend your money should be avoided, as well as anything even remotely hinting at the terrible subject of child pornography. A breakthrough occurred in March of 2014 when a dark web persona named Integer hacked the Hidden Wiki and deleted all of the child pornography links. Despite mixed responses of praise and desertion that he censored what should remain uncensored. 4 years later, the Hidden Wiki remains a place in which to tread carefully, though it contains many links that are completely safe, and thankfully, their descriptions will let you know well before you journey to them. There are now many wikis designed to point you to the various sites of the Onion Network, and one user swears by the method of avoiding any sites that starts with a plethora of ones and A's. Law enforcement also uses the dark web with great effectiveness. While hidden service sites have the unsavory reputation of being lawless lands where murder for hire is advertised and child abuse is being promoted, law enforcement agents are actually helping steer what already is, and could be even more in the future, an important territory for free speech and liberties away from those who would do harm to their fellow citizens. Using a technique frequently used by hackers, FBI agents install malware that downloads onto computers accessing illegal sites, such as Playpen, and force these computers to reveal their actual address. With a second warrant, agents are able to arrest these users in their homes and stop them from contributing to the very real problem of human trafficking and child pornography. In the case of Playpen, the FBI's warrant allowed them to harvest the IP addresses of 1,300 computers, resulting in the arrest of 137 people. As for Playpen, the site was seized by the FBI and shut down. Environmental groups are increasingly coming under surveillance in the U.S. under post-9/11 legislature. Congressman Rob Bishop of Utah and Bruce Westerman of Arkansas gave WIR, World Resources Unit, an ultimatum to produce documents of their work in China and asked if anyone in their organization had registered as a foreign agent. WIR, well respected across the world as an international climate and environmental research group, and it reiterated its purpose when asked about the letter accusing them. In addition to WIR, the Center for Biological Diversity and the National Resources Defense Council came under Congressman Bishop's scrutiny for their work overseas. These organizations returned fire, metaphorically, of course, when they stated that they're under no obligation to register as foreign agents when they do not work for the countries in which they're doing research, in this case, China and Japan. So why is this important? Because many believe that these groups are coming under attack because they are critical of the U.S. government's attack on the environment. And it harkens back to the Cold War when the U.S. government was accused of red baiting. All over the United States, small town activists are using the dark web to share information in an attempt to free their communities from the strangleholds of big corporations. These corporations are taking advantage of the town's small government and law enforcement. One anonymous woman said her work, if ever discovered, could lead to harm or fatal accidents. Tor can also help employees circumvent blocked information by the companies or unions they work for, and many companies do retaliate. A Canadian internet service provider cut off access to its employees' own union website. The dark web is a collection of nameless faceless, and most importantly, numberless guest gathering in the protective darkness of anonymity, and for good reason. For some, however, remaining anonymous is reason enough. One user in the dark web stumbled upon a vast directory of .html files and images of military and medical faxes. Returning to the top of the subdirectory, the user found a new file had been added, named Hello There. Clicking that revealed a message, I see you, which prompted the user to immediately get the hell out of Dodge. But why do we seek out that which might disturb us? Not everything in the dark web is as notorious as it's made out to be. But make no mistake, there is plenty there to be found and be shocked by. So why still would anyone want to go? Disgust, as hopefully taught us by our caregivers when we're toddlers, keeps us safe, clean, and out of harm's way. We're taught not to touch something if it might make us sick. And once that set of skills is mastered, we learn to sneak peeks at terrible things for the thrill of it. Those moments of adrenaline hit in the same area of the brain and is linked to the neurotransmitter dopamine. It's a stressful world. We sometimes look to self-soothe in some incredible ways, and arousal can come from terror as well as from delight. Experts stress that we haven't gotten worse as thrill seekers. We've just been given greater access to such thrills. And the dark web is a gateway that many say fails to disappoint. That's it for this edition. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. This is K-Town, and I'll see you next time on The X Podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.